I'm Gary Parr, and you're listening to Fiber Talk, the twice-weekly podcast for needlework artists. And our artist this week, Patricia Sohn. Welcome, Patricia.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Yes, thanks for joining me. We get to talk about painted canvas. This is going to be fun. I'm well known to people who listen to Fiber Talk. I am a I'm a needlepoint lover. That's where I first learned. That's what my favorite thing to do is to this day. Even though I do other techniques, I just love doing needlepoint. Do a lot of charted canvas. Have done painted canvas, but not a lot. So we definitely want to talk about some of those things and help people understand the value and the fun of doing painted canvas. But I picked up just a little tidbit. You're not a lot about you in the world of the internet. probably intentional. It's okay. But I picked up a little tidbit. Sounded like you've been designing since you were young.
Well, I designed a few things when I was, I guess you'd say, a teenager. And then a lot of time passed.
Oh, okay.
You know, college, marriage, children, all that stuff.
Yeah, that'll suck up your design time. Yeah,
it did. But I'm really excited to be back at the painting table. It's fun. Yeah.
So did you mother teach you?
No, I had an aunt by marriage, actually, who lived in West Texas, and I went to visit her once, and she took me to the needlepoint shop in Amarillo, and it was a little shop called the Betty's, because it was owned by two ladies named Betty, and this was when Bargello was having a real real following, and
yes.
So my first piece actually was a Bargello piece. It wasn't a painted canvas. And it was very simple, almost looked like lightning, you know, a zigzag.
Yeah.
And four colors. And that's how I got started with needlepoint. She was a big needlepointer. She mostly did painted canvases and Bargello. And so that's where I got started.
Mm-hmm. Back in the days of wool thread. And
it was wool, yes.
Yeah.
That's all there was.
Right. Wool thread and what, 13 count, right?
Probably so. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Great big old holes.
I like them.
Yeah. So you got that young, that exposure when you were young, and it just kind of sat and cooked while you raised a family then.
Well, that's right. I mean, I've always stitched, for myself, and sometimes I would design it myself, or later on I started buying painted canvases, but, they are more expensive, you know? And so, I would say my first things were either from a chart. I've even done needlepoint using a cross stitch chart,
mm-hmm.
and transferred it to the grid of the needlepoint canvas.
Mm-hmm. I've seen that done. You can get some amazing things out of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In fact, our Christmas stockings are, I did them from Mary Beale's charts.
Uh-huh.
They were really for cross stitch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I did them in needlepoint.
Grid's a grid, so, yep.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. The Bargello thing, I did some of that way early on, and I had a book. I can't remember the title of the book,
mm-hmm.
and I just, in a clean-out effort, just threw it away.
Oh, dear.
And it was a few years later, you know, one of those things, like, oh, why did I throw that thing away? Because it was one of those, you know, more popular, more famous ones, and I had,
uh-huh.
it's like,
uh-huh.
you idiot, you know. But that's an interesting technique, Bargello.
I love
yeah.
it. And some of the designs are simple, but some of them are not.
I know.
And some have names, like the Carnation, which I love. Some of the better Bargello books actually come out of England, but those are more difficult designs.
Mm-hmm.
But it's fun. It's really fun.
Yeah, that can you look at most of that Bargello and you think, I'll fall asleep doing that. But yeah, some of those designs can just make you dizzy after a while. There's a good challenge to them.
There is, and I actually teach a Bargello class, and I always tell people, you got to make sure you get that first row right, because if the first row is wrong, it'll be wrong from then on.
Yep, yep, yeah, and you may not notice it till a couple of rows later, and then
right.
No,
that's right.
Oh no, yeah, no, those are that was so popular. For a long while, had a pretty good run, and you don't see a lot of it these days.
Well, I think there is a resurgence. I sense it. Uh huh. And just this class I've been teaching at Bargello, there's a lot of interest. But yes, I remember way back when they were putting Bargello on everything.
Yeah.
Kleenex box covers, trash cans. I think we had a phone book cover back when we had phone books.
Yeah.
That
yeah,
was those Bargello.
Days. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it kind of had a run like macrame.
Yes.
It was another one. Yeah. Yeah. But you know, beautiful stuff. And, you know, and today, you know, now you got me thinking about it with all the threads we have today. That did not exist back then. Opened some real doors, I would think.
Yes, it's not all wool anymore. And I, the Bargello piece I've been doing, or I've been teaching, it has the metallic in it.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of gives it some life.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, a lot. Because it has a nice little visual effect in and of itself. But when you can add some different threads and different textures, yeah, really take it to a new level. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. So do you have an art background, or are you just one of those people?
I would like to have majored in art. I kind of got discouraged early on by a professor, and I'm sorry I listened to him. Oh. But anyway, I changed course. I majored in English, which I loved. I love having an English degree. I love to read. I love to write. And so, but I have always taken art classes just my whole life.
So it's in your genes at the minimum then.
Well, I guess there are no artists in my family. They kind of look at me like they don't know where I came from. But
was the milkman? Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's yeah. I mean, who knows? There might be other artists in your family. They just never they listen to the wrong professor.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah.
No, that's interesting. So it's always kind of been there. That artistic bent has always been there for you, and Needlepoint gave you a chance to express it.
That's right. That's right. Even when I had a regular job, I worked for about 20 years. I would come home at night and just have to do something creative. Mm-hmm. You know. Yeah.
Yeah. Now the designing, you did some when you were young. Is it? How does that work in your head? Do you just have ideas that you have to get down, or do you need inspiration to come to you?
I have the ideas just kind of come in my head, but also sometimes I want to stitch something, but I can't find it out there for sale.
Mm.
And so I'm like, well, okay, I'll just design it myself.
Mm-hmm.
So and it comes about a lot of different ways.
Yeah. Well, that's yeah, and that's interesting because that's for a lot of people. That's a big hump to get over. Designing yourself, just to say, all right, I'll do this myself because we're kind of trained to buy someone else's designs and stitch them, and
right.
So to do it yourself, and if you feel a little artistic and creative, then off you go. Yeah.
Yes, it's fun.
Yeah. Now, were those early designs painted, or did that come to you later?
They were painted, but I really didn't know what I was doing. But I really have only been painting, I don't know, I'd say about 4 years.
Oh, okay.
For the wholesale market, you know.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So I've been teaching for a long time before that. So I come to design with a knowledge of what makes something stitchable?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From years of teaching.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, as a former teacher, you know, that old saying, if you really want to learn something, try teaching it.
That's true.
You'll learn it in a hurry.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you were stitching all along, raising a family, and then what started you teaching?
Well, when my girls were in high school, I was asked to go work at a local shop in Dallas, and they gave me the job that no one else wanted, and that was ordering the threads.
Oh.
Well, I loved it. I loved it because I got to know all the thread vendors. I really love the threads. That's one of the things about Needlepoint I just love.
Uh-huh.
And over time, I started teaching classes there, and then other shops started calling, and it became time to go independent. So I guess I worked at the shop about 5 years. I really enjoyed it. And so then that led to teaching nationally. and which I still do a little bit, but not as much because I got tired of traveling.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the design stuff. It's like having two totally different jobs,
right?
Teaching and the design.
Yeah.
But it's fun. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. That point when the shops asked you to teach, was that a point where, okay, no problem? Or were you pretty nervous about it? You know, I'm not so sure I'm a good enough stitcher to actually teach people. Where were you at that point? That has to be an interesting juncture.
Well, I just forged ahead. I didn't really worry about that.
Okay.
I'll be honest. I didn't think about that. I had taught it at the local shop and that went okay. And so I thought, well,
yeah.
Okay.
So, okay. So you're wanting to just jump in the deep end and see what happens, huh?
Right. Right.
Okay. Yeah. Now the national teaching, did you, get some certification from ANG or EGA or?
I did not.
Okay.
I just did it. And you know what? When a shop calls to ask me to teach, I have yet to have a shop ask me if I'm certified.
Ah, okay.
They don't care. They see something you've stitched on Facebook or wherever, and they call you and they say, when can you come?
Mm-hmm. All right. Because so many believe that you need to have a formal certification to be able to teach. And I've never really bought into that, but I'm sure it helps at some level.
I just, I didn't have the time to do that.
Yeah. Right. I had kids.
I had kids and then the shops were calling and I thought, yeah. Well, okay.
Okay. But yeah, I can imagine the travel for that gets, I think people don't realize for teachers, the travel is the kits and shipping or hauling and time away from home, and it's usually weekends, right?
It is usually weekends or Mondays, because a lot of shops are closed on Mondays, so that's when they want to have their, they'll have the class Saturday, Sunday, Monday, or something like that. It's hard on your home life.
Yeah.
But I am still teaching a little bit, and of course, this year, everything came to a halt.
Right.
But if I can drive somewhere, I'll teach there.
Okay, yeah. Still enjoy it then. You didn't get burnt out.
I do. Oh, I love teaching. I love interacting with people. Yeah. And I really missed that this year.
Yeah. Yeah. No, like I said, as a former teacher, I've always said that when the bell rings and the doors close, that's the best time. You get a classroom full of kids and just spend an hour with them. Nothing like
mm-hmm.
it.
Yeah. Needle pointers are just really nice people overall.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I have friends all over the country. It's just been great.
Yeah. Well, and that's from me teaching high school science to teaching needle workers. I mean, these are people who are there and they want to be there and they want to uh-huh. learn. So you have that extra level of enthusiasm in that room.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah. It helps.
I hadn't thought of it that way. That's true.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm sure that that's the case, as I've never taught a needlepoint or needlework class at all, but I'm sure that there's that extra level of enthusiasm. You don't have five people in the back corner who'd rather be somewhere else.
That's true. That's very true.
Yeah, there's always those in a school classroom, guaranteed. I don't
want
to be
here.
Yeah,
if it was science, that was probably me.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, well, I have I have ways of dealing with you, yes.
Oh, dear.
No thank. All done with that. Long time ago. Pass. Yeah. Now, so your painted canvas, has it always been painted canvas for you? Have you tried other techniques? What have you done?
You mean like, have I tried embroidery?
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
Stump work or something? I have. I love the grid. I love the grid of the canvas.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's I don't know if it gives you a little security or what, but I seem to work best on that.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It can only go here and here and nowhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Has it always been a painted canvas though?
For me? Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah. Just where you started and stuck with it. Now, is it, when I first learned on painted canvas, and that was what I first learned on, it was basically basket weave. Well, my first one was tent stitch, which worked out great till I took it off of the frame, and then, oops, rhomboid.
Well, at least it was on a frame.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I really wish it hadn't been. Then I would have noticed that it was not going to stay square. But then I said, oh, there's got to be a better way. And so that's, well, try this basket weave thing. It might end up better, and it did. But so you start out with that, and then over time,
you know,
start to embellish?
I love basket weave. I think it's very calming, and I think over time, like for a pillow, I mean, nothing holds up better over time than basket weave. And I still do. I always have a basket weave project going, particularly this year. It's been very calming. But the fancy stitches, which are really embroidery stitches, done on an open weave canvas. The fancy stitches, I guess, are what they hire me to teach, and they're fun. They're a lot of fun.
But you got,
that's mostly what I teach.
Yeah, and you got to be involved from the days when it was really little more than basket weave with wool thread to today, where we have all kinds of threads and use all kinds of stitches. So you really got to see the progression and experience it.
It's really fun, and I love all the new threads. It's just really fun.
Yeah. Yeah, as a designer, you can do so much more, I'm sure. Well, I know you can, with all the threads you have available rather than just 58 colors of wool.
That's right.
Yeah. Now, did you teach yourself then how to develop these other stitches and how to incorporate them into designs and bring them to life?
I've taken tons and tons of classes with different national teachers, and you just learn so much. And also, I have a little problem. I own hundreds of books, and I just keep buying more. I figure if you get one good idea out of a book, it was worth it.
Yeah.
And I just, how some people read cookbooks. Well, I read stitch books.
It's a wall full of books. Okay.
Oh, more than one wall, but
okay. Uh-oh. Well, no, that's great. I mean, everybody has a way to learn, and before the internet really took hold, that was the way.
That's right.
Yeah. You get books, and I've been to the library many a time and checked out books. Didn't return them till when they were due, because I'm still working on this. I'll get back to you. Yeah. The let's kind of help people out, because now for me, I mean, I paint a canvas I just haven't done in a long time. It's just not what interests me these days, and I still have a couple that I've never have stitched. They're just sitting there. It's interesting as things have evolved here, because When somebody described to me when I was talking about to them about charted canvas versus painted canvas, and this was a painted canvas designer. She said, charted canvas, you don't have any creativity. Well, yeah, you do, but I won't argue the point. She says, with painted canvas, I can, there's so much creativity. I can do so many things. And I agree with that. You can. And then along come stitch guides.
Right.
And then, people buy a canvas, and then the first question is there a stitch guide for it?
I know.
Which kind of, to me, offsets the creativity part of it, because now you're following someone else's design. So where are you at on all of that? Because you do stitch guides, right?
I sell a ton of them. I think that working from a chart and working versus working on a painted canvas, it's two different things. It's two different parts of the brain. The two totally different types of stitching. And I hear what you're saying about the stitch guides. People seem to like being told what to do, or they like getting suggestions. And it really is just a guide. It's just, you don't have to follow it exactly, It's just kind of a starting point. And I have had people come up to me and say, I'm just so sorry. I changed this stitch here. I hope you don't mind. I said, it's your piece. You should make it your own. You can do whatever you want on that piece. It doesn't hurt my feelings at all. But stitch guides are very popular. And I think it gives them a starting off point.
Okay. So you find most people use it for that rather than I must do this because that's the way she designed it.
Well, needle pointers seem to be pretty precise kind of people.
Yeah.
I remember asking one time in a class how many firstborns in the class. It was like almost everyone in the room.
Oh, really? Okay.
These type A firstborns, which I am too.
So am I. Yep.
And yes. Okay. Here we go.
Yep.
And so they do kind of like being given a guide.
Mm-hmm. And they just execute it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because
it's fun.
It's, I mean, painted canvas to me is a fascinating aspect of the hobby. Because when mm-hmm. you see people who really know what to do with a painted canvas, and I've said this a million times, it just blows my mind what they can do with dimension and texture. Mm-hmm. I mean, they just bring those things to life. People who really know what they're doing and have the stitches at their disposal and know how to use threads. And it's just amazing what can be done. And so many of them, to me, look like, well, I don't know what I do beyond just do basket weave and fill in all the colors and be done with it. And then you see somebody take, the same canvas, and all of a sudden it's a three-dimension visual treat.
Right. Well, that's the most fun part to me, is choosing the stitches. And sometimes you go through two or three stitches before you find one that gives you the texture or the look that you want.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the creative part, and that's the fun part to me.
Yeah. That's all right, two or three stitches. All right. So do you practice on doodle cloth when you're doing that? Or do you beat up the canvas?
I beat up the canvas.
Okay.
And a lot of times it's because the stitch I chose, maybe it's too large or it's too small. The scale is wrong. I'm still kind of working on getting that figured out in my mind. But, or maybe it's just not quite the texture. I love texture. I mean, that's important, I think. And, I audition several stitches usually on a big area before I get one that looks just the way I want it.
Yeah. All right. And so that just in and out of that canvas until you get it right. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. And the other part, when you design canvases, cause that's the other thing that, I guess bother isn't the right word, but anyway, it's what always catches my eye with some of these painted canvases is I always feel like the areas of color are so small that I don't know what I'd do with it beyond just basket weave it and be done. And so when you design, are you conscious of that? Do you try to give areas so you can develop a stitch or?
Yes, I really. And again, this goes back to my teaching background. You do need a good size area to get a pattern going.
Yeah.
And so I try not to put too much detail in them, but I know what you're talking about. A lot of, or not a lot, but some of the canvases out there have so much picky little detail that really all you can do is tent stitch or basket weave.
So I'm not crazy.
No, you're not crazy at all.
Yeah. When I look at painted canvases, that's the first thing I look for. Is there enough area that I can develop a stitch that would dominate the space or recede or whatever? And in a lot of them, no, there isn't. And well, I'll pass then. Yeah. And then you also work, as you develop them, incorporate beads and other things, or are you pretty much all thread?
I like beads occasionally. I think it can really enhance a piece. I'm not the kind of person that tacks a lot of buttons or charms to a piece. I think we're here to stitch. But I do occasionally like beads, yes. I think it can add a lot.
Yeah, and I think it sometimes get to be too much. But
right.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I use a lot. I don't use a lot of it, but occasionally.
That's interesting. We're here to stitch, not put beads on. Okay.
Right. we're not here to tack stuff on.
Yeah.
like charms or something, you know.
Yep. I've been fascinated by, you see, a lot of designers who are doing designs with words, where it'll just be like a border and a word or a phrase. And those seem really popular. You have some in your collection.
Well,
do those move well?
Yeah, they do sell well. I have, there are two parts to my collection, and my little, I don't know what you call it, byline is elegant and witty designs to the trade. Well, the elegance is what I want to stitch, but I have two millennial daughters, and they are my advisors on the sayings. And so I had to create this whole other area of my business called the Millennial Collection, and they're my curator. They don't stitch, but they're my curators. Okay. They're full of opinion. So the sayings do sell well.
That's interesting. It just interests me. I assume to the younger people, it seems like that's where the interest is.
It is. And they like the 13 mesh, the bigger size. And a lot of them are done all in basket weave, and that's fine. Again, nothing holds up better on a pillow than basket weave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Interesting. Mm-hmm. I wonder as they get older, if they'll try other things or if they'll still like that.
Well, I in Dallas, I do little help sessions at a local shop once a week. And I have a lot of young stitchers in there, and they want to learn the fancier stitches too. So that's very exciting.
Mm, okay. So you're seeing, and that's another thing I wanted to make sure and ask you, is you're seeing young people get involved then?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
A lot of Christmas stockings being stitched, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. great. Because, I mean, there's in the cross-stitch world, there's tremendous movement among young people stitching, a lot of it. Mm-hmm. But I've always wondered wonder about needlepoint and whether
I am not worried about the future. There are a lot of young stitchers. I'm very excited about it. And this year, you know, everybody's been sitting home stitching. So, and that's been great for the industry.
Yeah, yeah. Those people will say, I've got all this time to stitch. I'd like to get a little of that time. I'm not quite sure, how to pull that off. But yeah, well, I mean, I know a lot of shops can't keep up. The people want stuff, and of course, can't get threads. And
right,
yeah, people are cranking out a lot of projects. No doubt about it. Yeah,
they really are. Yeah. It's great.
What? Let's just take a painted canvas. Say I buy a painted canvas. Uh-huh. Whatever. And I want to do something with it other than basket weave. What are some of the things I should look for as I decide what to stitch and how to stitch? Is there, we look for a dominant element in the design and start with that. What are some of the things that go through your mind as you develop, say, a stitch guide?
Well, I probably look at the large area first. Like say it's a bird, you know, look at the body and okay, which direction is it slanting?
Mm-hmm.
Do I need a stitch that slants that way? You know, do I need a stitch that maybe looks like feathers? And also how big should the stitch be? You don't want a teeny tiny stitch on a great big bird. I mean, the scale needs to be right. And then lastly, you need to choose a thread that gives the right texture for whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot of things I look at.
Okay. So it's all right. So it's almost a checklist of things to mm-hmm. study. And mm-hmm. then when it comes to thread, then is it really kind of trial and error for you? Well, I mean, obviously you start with a general idea. I want it to be red and I want it to do this and that, but then it really is just try this and see if it's going to work in that space.
I have a fair amount of threads at my house. Can you imagine that?
Not surprised.
So
no,
I have plenty of things to try, but usually I can look at it and think, this should be woolly or this should be shiny. You know, does it need to be metallic or does it just need to have a nice sheen with silk? Silk is kind of my go-to.
Mm-hmm.
That's my favorite thread.
So if I buy a canvas, then it sounds to me like there's quite a process up front where I might even make a Xerox copy of the canvas and sit down and just make some notes and pull out some threads and lay them on there and see what I see what I think. Kind of that, that approach.
Uh-huh. Some people do make a copy of the canvas. I think that's always a good idea to write on and
And then just work it out, and then from there, because I mean, at some point, a lot of people just don't have a lot of threads, so they have to go buy from the shop. And of course, these days you can't do that, or it's difficult at best.
I know.
So then,
hopefully they have a shop that can help them. Maybe not right now, but although a lot of shops are doing it by, you send them a picture and they'll write a stitch guide or just give you stitch ideas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody's had to kind of change their game this year, and people they're finding ways to help their customers, even though the customers can't set foot in the store.
Yeah, because that's obviously ideal to be able to go into a store and put the canvas on the table and lay out threads and make a mess till you decide what you want. Yeah,
absolutely. Or maybe, you know, starting with a piece with a stitch guide, and then you learn things from that guide, and then maybe next time you can do it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, you use a stitch guide as kind of a training piece, and then
yes, uh-huh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When you do your designs, different sizes, you have a nativity scene, mm-hmm. some angels. Do you think about size ahead of time, or is it a design and then that dictates the size?
No, I usually think about the size ahead of time. So far what I've designed is pretty small, and I want to do some bigger things. But, no, I do think about size, particularly on an ornament, you know, it probably mm-hmm. wants to be no more than 5 inches. So size is important. And then also whether you use 18 mesh or 13 mesh.
Yeah.
Canvas. So 18, you get a lot more detail, like my nativity sets on 18.
Mm-hmm.
But for some of these sayings that you might just basket weave, 13 mesh.
Yeah. But now, most of your stuff done on 18?
It's a mix.
Okay.
It's a mix.
Mm-hmm. Just depends. All right. Mm-hmm. Congress cloth at all?
No.
No?
No. Nobody can see that.
That's interesting that's not used very much at all.
No.
Like if I'm doing cross stitch on linen, I'll usually use 40 counts, so...
Yeah.
Congress cloth is gaping holes to me, but
needle pointers have a different mindset. They want to get it done.
Yeah,
you know, yeah.
Put it on 13 and stitch it and move on. Okay,
right.
And that's just it. Everybody has a different thing. So, talk about your one of the things. I should mention to folks that Wednesday. Patricia will be with us live on our Wednesday show. So we'll be able to see some of her designs and talk about what went into them and how the designs developed and some of the features and so on. So join us Wednesday, 8 o'clock Eastern Time on our YouTube channel to we'll just go through some of the designs and enjoy them and see what went into them. But this the nativity set is fascinating to me. That's not just Mary, Joseph, and baby Jesus. It's quite a collection there. Did that start out as the manger scene and then grow, or did you have a vision of a whole line of things?
No, I had that was my COVID project for this year.
Okay,
and I had figured out ahead of time which figures I wanted. And I think they're 13, including the stable.
Mm-hmm.
And they are on 18 mesh. They're not real big. They're about 3 or 4 inches tall. So it's very doable size. And another thing I do is, like on that nativity, I include my stitch guide with the canvas.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people can follow it or not. It's up to them. But it gives them a starting place.
Yeah. Yeah. So all stand up pieces,
yes.
Right? All separate stand up pieces. And do I get those as a package, or is each one individual? How do you handle that?
Each one is sold individually because some people just wanted to do the Holy Family. They didn't mm-hmm. want all the other pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Another person wanted just the Three Kings. Most people are ordering the whole set, but I am selling them individually.
Yeah. So, and I guess that's really ideal. Then I can start out with the Holy Family, and then
yes.
Next Christmas I can add the Three Kings and
that's
just kind
true.
Of build. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's and set up a scene. It'll be interesting as those get out in the market and get stitched to see what people do with them.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
When I stitched the stable, I decided to put a verse on the back wall of the stable. I don't know if you've seen a picture of it, but it's a Old Testament prophecy. And I like the way it looked, but I thought, oh no, not everyone's going to want to do that. And so I actually am having the stables painted just plain, but the verse is charted out in the stitch guide in case they want to add it.
Uh-huh.
So, but that stable's gotten a lot of attention because of the verse that that just happened while I was stitching it. I thought, I think I'll try this.
Yeah, now I got to go back and look. I did, because I looked at it. I didn't, the verse didn't register with me. So I'll have to, have to go take a look. Yeah. Yeah. So that, all right. So that's your COVID project. And then the one that stopped me as I went through your gallery was the angels. Are those a long-term, design project? Lots of ideas?
No, once you get started, the ideas just keep coming. And before I knew it, I had six angels because they all have different, a different category. Like one's holding a harp and one is praying and one's holding a heart or a star. And then there's one kind of bad one that's in trouble. the angel with attitude. Mm-hmm. Had to have one of those.
Yeah. 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 Well, they're beautiful. They really come off well. And
thank you. I like the idea of white, just white on white.
Yep.
And different textures and different threads. It was fun gathering up all these different white threads to use to give different textures.
Yeah, it's interesting because that's probably my favorite aspect of stitching. I mean, white on white draws me every time.
Oh, okay.
No matter what the technique. And it's that, to me, it's the fascination of what you can get with white thread on white ground cloth and all the things you can do with it.
And it's all about texture and the stitch.
Yeah.
And it looks so different.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it really is amazing how much flexibility there is and how much design freedom there is with just white thread. And you would never think that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree. Totally. I had a lot of fun with those.
Yeah. And that's like old white work samplers and things is just, they stop me every time. Yep.
I agree. They're beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's one of my favorite parts. Yeah. You can always suck me into a white thing. White on white. Yep. And it's fun because you see like white on white, but then sometimes you'll see people do a lot of that and then drop in just a little subtle color. And
what I dropped in was metallic gold here and there.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
On the angels.
Yep. Yeah. Just a little something. Yeah. Doesn't have to be a lot. Yep. Yep. So if we're going to have a new needle pointer wants to try painted canvas, what is your advice for them in terms of what do you look for in selecting a canvas, evaluating? I mean, say for instance, you have no skill, no experience, or you're more of a intermediate person. What kinds of things should people look for when buying a canvas, so that they get something that they're going to enjoy and not feel overwhelmed?
Right. Well, I would choose a canvas that has some large blocks of color. I would not choose a canvas that has a lot of picky little detail, and I certainly would not choose one that has black outlines around the image. Mm-hmm. Those can end up looking kind of cartoonish because everybody wants to stitch that black outline. I don't recommend that. So I would choose a piece that has large blocks of color where there's room to get, if you want to learn some fancy stitches, where there's room to get a pattern going.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully you have a local shop, or there are a lot of beginner classes online that you can find. And also there are YouTube videos, a lot of them, of people demonstrating stitches. So technology has certainly made it helpful to the people that don't have a local shop.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Okay. So that's a good start. And then compensation. What's your top tip for compensation? Pray.
Well, I wouldn't start with a compensating stitch. I would start in an area of the canvas where you can get the full pattern going, and then go back and do the compensating stitches. Because if you start with a compensating, that's hard. That's really hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, yeah, and I think people get hung up on that. Like, I can't even get started here, yeah. So start somewhere in the middle of that area, do the full stitch, and work your way out.
Exactly.
Yeah. Somebody once told me when you get to the point where you have to compensate to, in your mind at least, stitch the whole stitch. It's like go out into the other area and then back off till it fits. Then,
exactly. That's exactly right. Think how, you know, where it would be if you had room to do the full stitch and then back it up to the end of the painted area. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
Okay. All right. So I got good advice on that one then.
You did.
Yay for me. Because that can be a real challenge, especially on painted canvas, where no edge is the same. Each time you come to an edge in a row, it's not going to be the same as the last time. And really hard to get even a sense of what to do each time.
Well, we're working on a grid here, you know, but not all designs are square. I mean, we have a lot of curves and circles to deal with. Yep.
Yep. And that's another thing. Now, I assume that your canvases are all stitch painted so that the lines are lined up with the grid the way they should be.
Yes.
Yeah.
I would prefer that. Absolutely.
So, and people should look, you know, the point there, people should look for that because it really does make it easier for you to know where a stitch should end or begin.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, some of those machine painted things are.
I have a hard time with. I know they're less expensive, but a lot of times the register is off just a little bit.
Yep.
And it's very frustrating.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember some of the early dimension kits.
Mm-hmm.
Where does this end? And then you make it up. You say, all right, I got to make a decision. And then you get further on, and, well, that wasn't really right, and it doesn't quite look right, and, yeah, it gets really frustrating.
It is frustrating.
And if you're working with a kit, you don't have a lot of thread, and, yeah.
Right.
So that, yeah, I mean, you know, people say, you know, talk, you know, that's one of the first complaints about people who've not done painted canvases, it's so expensive to buy the canvas. Well, it is and it isn't. I mean, yeah, it's a nice, healthy capital outlay to begin with.
It is.
But if you get a good stitch painted canvas, it's, you know, as you work it, it's well worth the money.
Right. I mean, hopefully you're getting a better product to begin with. You're also getting the good mono canvas, which is kind of flexible depending on your tension. I guess we've all tried to stitch on that interlock canvas, and it's just so frustrating. It's just so frustrating. And it's really, the finishers hate it because it's so hard to block and get straight. But, I guess you do get what you pay for. I hate to say that, but you do.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you do. A painted canvas is $150 for, you know, a decent sized little piece. And you go, oh, my word. And then I got to buy thread on top of that. But then I had more than one person describe, well, count the hours of time and pleasure you get out of that. And then compare that to how many movies you go see or how many hours staring at your phone. And it can get pretty cheap after a while in relative terms.
It takes a while to stitch needlepoint. I mean, it's, you know.
Yeah.
It may be an investment, but you're going to spend a lot of time on it and hopefully enjoy it.
Yeah. And then at the end, you have something that you're proud to hang up or sit on the table or something. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
No. Yeah. People need to look at that because we'll go spend money on all kinds of things and then flinch at a painted canvas. Well, I guess it's where your priorities are, but there's a lot of fun in those canvases and a lot of opportunity to experiment and learn and grow.
Right.
So, Yep. Well, Patricia, I've enjoyed it. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Gary.
Yeah. Learned some things. So that's great. So for everybody listening now, join us Wednesday. And Patricia will be with us live on the Fiber Talk YouTube channel. And we'll look at some of her designs and see what went into them. We'll get to look at the nativity set, I hope, and talk about those and just explore various features, and you'll get a better sense of what goes into her designs, the painted design, and then the stitched product too. So it should be fun. So join us then. Patricia, thank you, and thanks to everybody for listening.
Thank you.